This is Pastor Greg Cumby from Our Savior Lutheran Church, 2800 Millwood Pike, Winchester, Virginia, and we welcome you to our weekly broadcast here on News Talk 1400.
Self will. From God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a story of persistent faith and humility, the heart of discipleship, and the fact that it is shown to us by a Gentile woman. The second theme is the universal mission we've been reading and singing about this morning, specifically the unique place that God has both Israel and the Gentiles in the history of salvation. And the third theme is that of Jesus' authority as Lord of creation, especially over illness and death. Beginning in verse 21, after Jesus left that place, he withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus is once more withdrawing from his enemies after a long debate, as well as symbolically rejecting them. In order to recharge. This, along with other details, have led a number of psychologists to state that Moses, Paul, and Christ would today be what we called introverted leaders. Jesus is on his way to destiny in Jerusalem. Tyre and Sidon were major Hellenistic cities on the coast, 30 and 50 miles away, the northern edge of Galilee. Some scholars believe that Jesus never left the Jewish areas, and therefore he only went to the borders of that region that extended eastward, with a woman coming out to meet him. But there's no reason, I believe, to doubt what Mark says in Mark 7:24 and 7:31, that Jesus indeed went through all the regions. It's likely that he wanted to get away from the leaders, as well as prepare his disciples for the next stage, namely their future mission to the Gentiles. It would be impossible to do that with crowds of clamoring people and Pharisees out to get him, demanding his attention throughout Israel and Judah. Verse 22, and look, a Canaanite woman from that area came to him and cried out. This is the only time the word Canaanite is used in the New Testament. And it's broader than simply a way of referring to Gentiles. It's referring here to the Phoenician people themselves. They were a pagan people, but they were a great seafaring nation. And this really highlights for us the negative connotations of that time and age of the woman's ethnic origins. Matthew is highlighting the startling nature of the whole story because during this time, women or Gentiles would not normally go to a Jewish rabbi at all. Verse 22, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is terribly ill, possessed by a demon." The fact that this woman immediately calls Jesus Lord and Son of David is quite startling. It's unclear at this point whether or not she had been raised in a God-fearing Gentile home similar to what Cornelius was, or she could have just been a very smart lady acquainted with the theological convictions of her neighbors. The Son of David is a very specific term that recalls the healing of the blind men back in chapter 9 of Matthew, who also called out for mercy from the Son of David. This title is often used in healing context to emphasize the Davidic Messiah as a shepherd who's tending to wounded sheep. The title she uses here of Lord, Kyrie, was not used with full understanding by the woman. How could she? But Matthew and his readers would have seen an allusion to Jesus as Lord of creation, who controlled all illness and who controlled the cosmic forces, including evil. This little girl is in a desperate situation. She is terribly sick and demon-possessed, being tortured in her body, mind, and spirit. The mother seems to have tried everything. Only the Lord could exercise power to save her. Verse 23, "But Jesus did not answer her with even a single word." Jesus' silence here is to some extent understandable, because this lady represents everything about pagan Gentiles that Jews tried their best to avoid so they would not be seen as ceremonially unclean. Now, a person watching this from a distance would think that Jesus was simply rejecting her request for this reason. But when we understand the larger context, it reveals that he's not rejecting this lady at all. What he's doing is testing her. He's sitting back, watching and waiting for a further response to see what type of person exactly he's dealing with. Jesus was testing whether or not this woman was a woman of understanding and a woman of substance. Verse 23, "And his disciples came and requested, 'Send her away because she keeps crying out at us.'" The disciples' use of the imperfect word here for requested in the present tense of crying out shows this woman simply would not go away. She will not take no for an answer. Instead, she keeps shouting for mercy respectfully, exactly the response I believe that Jesus was looking for. The disciples, as usual, are growing easily irritated, and they want Jesus to simply dismiss her the same way they wanted Jesus to dismiss the little children. Verse 24, "So Jesus responded, 'I was not sent to anyone except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" At first glance here, Jesus seems to acquiesce to the disciples. The Jewish people, he said at this time, were for the most part hopeless. They were like sheep without a shepherd and lost, both in their national sense, but more importantly, in their justification or standing before God. They were trusting in their good works to get them to heaven. They were trusting in their bloodlines and their ancestry to save them. And this fits the context quite well at this point. It shows an initial reluctance for Jesus to extend his ministry to the Gentiles in the church's mission until he had first reached all of Israel. But in the ensuing narrative, Jesus extends that grace to the Gentile woman as a symbol of the up-and-coming, unheard of to this time, magnificent, universal grace of God. People had heard about it in the Psalms and other passages, but now they're about to see it. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, lady, getting involved with you at this point in redemptive history is not part of my job description. But I am not closing the door yet. I'm going to see whether or not you are a woman of substance or not, or whether or not you're simply another desperate Gentile who pursues God in healing only when they need something. Verse 25, then she came and fell down before him, saying, Lord, help me. At this point, Jesus rightly saw her persistent faith. She did something that few accomplish, namely, she thoroughly impressed Jesus. She was a woman of depth and quality. And once more, she appears to Jesus by his title, Lord, and begs him to save her daughter. Verse 26, but Jesus responded, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. This somewhat startling parabolic response, especially if you view it mistakenly through modern lenses, at first glance could depict Jesus as being rude or antagonistic. In fact, one mainline commentator calls it a brutal and violent rebuff. These words of Jesus, he says, exhibit the worst kind of chauvinism. Well, this was not an age of weak and hypersensitive wallflowers just looking for new ways for someone to offend them. I suspect you probably could have compared this lady to anything in the animal kingdom, and it would not have fazed her at all. She was secure with who she was. She did not base her self-worth on the thoughts of others. The children here are the Jews. The dogs are simply the Gentiles. So Jesus is here using this term not so much in a pejorative sense, but the classical Jewish sense. What is fascinating is how this Canaanite woman, she changes the metaphor on the spur of the moment in the next verse. But she replied in verse 27, yes, Lord, yet indeed their dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table of their masters. This is the type of woman I would have enjoyed talking with. Her wit is amazing. And this is the only time in the entire Bible where we can say, in a sense, and I say this reverently, someone outmaneuvers Jesus in a debate. Now, of course, he allowed himself to be outmaneuvered, but she did it nonetheless. He concedes her point as being 100% accurate, something that Jesus very rarely does, especially with a Gentile who happens to be a woman. What she does next is something. She switches the terminology. She takes the Greek word or Aramaic word that Jesus would use for dog, the generic term, and she switches it to the word used for little household pet, stealing crumbs for the master's table. The lady is brilliant, but she also has an astounding humility. She willingly admits, yes, my status as a Gentile is secondary to the Jews, at least it is for now. But she said she is perfectly willing, in fact, she would be thrilled to take the crumbs of the kingdom left over from Jesus and the Jews. So on top of being witty, theologically astute, respectful, patient, persistent, and humble, this woman of faith is absolutely certain that Jesus has more than enough authority and power to care for her daughter with what she calls the Jewish leftovers of God's grace. Verse 28, then Jesus responded, woman, your faith is great. This is the capstone of the story, is Jesus' remark, and it's reminiscent of a similar remark that Jesus made to the Gentile centurion back in Matthew 8, when he says, I have found no one in Israel with such great faith is yours. These two little stories have a rhythm. They have a part of the plan. They are tied together into glimpses. They are snapshots to the later faith the Gentiles would demonstrate through the universal preaching and mission of the gospel. And it's important to remember there are four levels of faith whenever we look at Matthew's gospel. The first category we would call the lack of faith, or perhaps the unfaith of the Jewish people. An illustration for that is Matthew 13:58. Secondly is the faith of those who turn healing into salvation, who recognize that Jesus was more than a medical worker or a miracle worker, but he was a savior. And we see this in chapter 9, verses 2, and 21, verses 22. The third category we see in chapters 14, 31 is the little faith we constantly see of Peter and his disciples. But the most interesting is the persistent faith of the centurion and the Canaanite woman depicted here. Persistent faith can be defined as total dependence and trust in Jesus. In this sense, too, this Gentile woman is a model of discipleship, not only to other Gentiles, but also to the 12, who have only experienced what Jesus calls little faith this far. So she and the centurion are the only people in Matthew's gospel that Jesus views up to this point as having a mature faith. Verse 28, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. The mother's persistent faith draws her to the healing power of Jesus, and her daughter is now completely whole from that very moment. Jesus again heals at the distance, and this again is one near verbatim parallel to his healing of the centurion's child in Matthew 8, verse 13. The close parallels to the healing of the centurion's servant means that the themes begun there continue here. But at the same time, this story makes two points abundantly clear. Entrance into the kingdom of God is solely predicated on the basis of faith. And secondly, Gentiles do not have to become Jews. They do not need to become Jewish proselytes to enter into the full blessings of the covenant. In terms of major points to draw, there are three primary ones I'd like to go over today. The first is the worldwide mission of the church. Perhaps this is the most obvious. There is agreement virtually across the board that the primary theme here is the power of God's salvific love on those on the border and later outside the border of Israel. In our day, that means all the people of the world, including those who are despised or marginalized by society. These people can be special objects of redemptive grace. Palestinians as well as Israelis, Sunnis as well as Shiites. The love of God and the grace of God leads to the toppling of tribalism, and it can actually form new bonds of love between groups known for ethnic hatred for generations. The second primary point I believe that Jesus has here for us is one of true faith. True faith does a lot more than simply say, I believe, though that's part of it. True faith persists in total humility and dependence on Christ. This lady threw herself in every sense of the fiber of her being at the mercy of Jesus. It centers on her complete submission, a humility that gave her a striking boldness to accept her unworthiness and to throw herself on God's mercy. It is a faith that surrenders and makes Jesus central rather than trusting in physical descent or her economic status. And thirdly, God's sovereignty over the created order. Matthew has a different emphasis than the other gospel writers, and one of his emphasis on Jesus is being the sovereign Lord who heals the sick. The exorcism here is a healing miracle. And these miracles, the God of Israel is at work, further proving Jesus' identity as the Messiah who has come to inaugurate the kingdom and has shown his faithfulness to God's covenant people. God and Jesus are still reaching out, even today, according to Romans 11, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, Jesus is still interested now in Jewish conversions. But he is also focused upon Gentile conversions. James 5:15 says, the prayer offered in faith will make the sick well. Now, some have misinterpreted this verse to mandate a health and wealth gospel, but that is not what it's saying. That is to deny the sovereignty of God. You have to remember that as with Paul and his thorn in the flesh he speaks about in 2 Corinthians 12, you and I also rely upon God's sovereign love and choice, not our own demands. We remember the Garden of Gethsemane prayer when Jesus says, "Yet not as I will, but your will be done." And this must be our prayer as well. The thrust of this story is simple and clear. Everyone who trusts in the Savior, the same way this Canaanite woman did, will also be healed. But that healing will likely be spiritual more than physical. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Greg Cumby. Thank you for listening to the weekly broadcast from Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia. For more information, you can find us online at oursavior-lcms.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 8:30 a.m. here on News Talk 1400.